Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Bryce.
Next time you're going to get my hopes up, could you please take me to a grease monkey? Because I like to get lubed up before I get...
James.
Say what?
And special commentary by Samantha.
Do you feel me inside of you?
Not another podcast.
Okay, so let's hope that no one fucks this up right now.
Jim. I'm ready.
Bryce.
Slippery.
Okay, now. Perfect. Their equipment is far worse than ours.
If it's not dented or smelling of farts, then obviously it's not of the highest quality.
Are we recording?
We are, yeah. So all of this is going on the blooper reel.
Beep. You say that like there's like another version of the show that's actually of high quality.
There
there's a cut version.
Yeah, there's another website, just another podcast.
We're just the podcast.
The show is about 30 seconds long. It's the intro and the outro.
That's it.
Yep.
Which sounds tits. It does sound
yeah.
tits.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so let's get this started. Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I am Bryce.
And I'm Samantha.
Samantha over
Is it necessary?
It's very necessary.
Is it necessary that I drink my own urine?
And the four of us are back again. Big Jim Willigan, Mr. Dennis Pitzenbogger, the most famous former celebrity we've ever had on the
show. Didn't you say that in the last one? I didn't get anybody since then. I think there's a guy that's holding a sign on the road. That's
no, well, last week we had a movie commentary.
We asked him, but
so.
He didn't have time for us.
I got to introduce Metallica on stage at the Rose Garden.
Yeah, Dennis is still more famous than
fair. It's fair.
I'll trade you for that though.
Really?
That would be cool.
Hell yeah!
But I did.
You want to smell my hand?
No.
It smells like Lars still.
It smells like Lars and his own urine.
The most enthusiastic of hand jobs is what happened there.
I don't have anything to follow that up with.
He's very musky.
I don't
musky.
Think there is anything to follow
best,
that up
okay,
with.
Okay, so since we're, as Metallica as a topic before we get too far off base, best by far, in my very meek concert going, I guess if you call it my career.
Yeah.
Best concert experience ever was a Metallica concert.
Hell yeah.
Really? Which one?
Me too.
Monsters of Rock, which if you can believe was Motorhead. Opening for Metallica, that opened for Guns N' Roses in the Kingdom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The Ace of Spades.
I think you were in third grade when that happened.
I was the coolest motherfucker in third grade. I was.
What happened?
Sporting his mullet.
Well, I remember Tony, a friend of mine from high school, had jumped into the
snake pit.
The snake pit.
Yeah.
And threw me his bracelet to get in the snake pit. And in, like, slow motion, I had reached up and grabbed that thing like I was grabbing the ball of holy water and Keanu Reeves and, like, smashing against my chest.
Yourself in hell.
And then, boom, I was out of hell. I grabbed it, got in there, and I literally sang into the microphone, Seek and Destroy, with James Hetfield.
Oh.
That, I mean...
And then they made out.
Dude, can I smell your hand?
No, well, I didn't get that close to him, but I would have.
I don't care. I can tell you smelt the hand of the man that sang into the microphone for Seeking Fucking Destroy.
Well, there was a good time, and it was one of those things. It was also now parallel that with one of those times when I should have died for sure, because after drinking way too much, we decided...
What?
To,
you?
Never.
we decided to then drive on from Seattle, and I don't really,
Portland.
Yeah, I don't really remember leaving Seattle. I don't. That was about the end of that. I ended up in like Damascus in like a guy's yard, like.
Wake up with a flamingo.
I sang with James. You know,
it's all. That's all he kept saying is I sang with James.
I hate to top him, but I really kind of want to.
Do it.
I finished off James Hetfield's beer that he gave me. When I was 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that a concert here in Portland?
Yeah, it was on the block tour.
No, he was leaving James's house.
I was leaving his house.
He's been balls deep in James's mom for about 20 minutes. And he's like, hey, finish my beer, kid.
Yeah, I met one of the cameramen out at a skydiving range, and he got me – I paid for his skydiving.
Is that like a shooting range?
Yeah, it is.
For humans.
I paid for him to jump out of a
human target
good
practice.
Airplane. He got me backstage passes and snake pit passes.
Oh, nice.
I didn't
shit.
Even have to buy tickets for the show or anything.
Was that the same? Oh, no, that was the Black Tour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after one of the best concerts I ever seen, I got to meet all four members of the band.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And James was the last guy I got to meet because there was a long line. And they kept their handlers were like, we got to go. And the band just refused to go. So finally, James stands up, lets out a belch, shakes his silver bullet, which is half full, and hands it to me and says, finish that off for me.
How optimistic of you. It was half full, not half empty. It was half full of dreams for a little James.
And a little James Hetfield backwash. There's a little James in James.
I don't know how to follow that, Dennis.
I'm done. Next
how about you? Yeah, anyway. We're like four Sally Jesse Raphaels right here with these microphones.
This is really awkward.
I know. We're so used to just talking, and now we have to, like,
actually
eventually we'll get more illegal funds and we'll have mic stands, so we won't actually
kinda
have to
like
touch
you. Well, we can all sing like, you know.
Like James,
mic way up.
We can drop the mic when we're done.
How you guys been?
Good.
It's been so long.
I know.
It's been so fucking long.
Well, last time we were all together, we all reminisced about Miles Around and everything, and we never touched on what both Bryce and I really wanted to touch on, and that was
the lawsuits. The so very many lawsuits that came out of that show.
I really wanted to talk about
the dark side.
Dennis's brush with fame.
Yes, it was a brush with fame. It hit me on I was riding my bike down the road. It kind of pushed me into a ditch, and here I lost.
Levy of Motorhead pushed him off his bike.
Who knew that my career was such an asshole? It had no clue. Just fuck end you.
So after Miles Around, Dennis, and we talked a little bit off the air about some of the dirt, and I hope we can get into more of that on the air.
Well, yeah.
So let's start with, okay, so Miles Around just was disintegrated out from under us.
Yeah.
By the powers that be at CBS.
Now, you had been let go from CBS, but you still owned the show, so you weren't working for them anymore. I had also been fired.
Can we share that story?
Fuck yeah, we can. Who gives a shit?
Of course. Nothing's off limits.
No, I got a headcount reduction. I didn't get fired. I got a headcount reduction.
Set the scene, Jim.
Yeah, so there I was, just in a puddle of my own tears, urine.
I could see him wander through the hallway.
Oopies candy. Oopies candy.
Hey, everybody. Have
That's
a good day.
Got Jim into the office. Oopies candy.
A line of candy.
Nope. Senor Paddock, Chris Paddock. He who can die in a fire raped by spiders, offered to have me come into his office, and so I went in there, and
I'll
just
have
like,
him off.
Which you know isn't a random occurrence. You know, he would obviously have us in every once in a while if he had to, you know, talk about anything particular. By this time, Marconi had been fired. I had my own show for like a hot minute, from like January to March. I had like the big gym from 7 to midnight, and I got to interview so many amazing people. And, like, you know, I wasn't asking for much. Obviously, they didn't give me a bump in pay or even renew my contract, which should have been a red flag right there. But, no, he brought me in. He's just like, Jim, should I have a seat? I'm like, love to sit. Love sits. Love sitting. Love being on my butt. It's great. It's fun times.
You forgot to preface this by when you got that show, you had been so beaten down, you were actually showing up to work drunk. And the day that this happened
was the day I actually was sober.
You changed. You had literally decided, I'm going to take this opportunity.
Yeah.
And make it something spectacular.
Yeah. No matter what, at that point, you know, I kind of like lost the forest for the trees, kind of a thing, and so I wasn't quite really. I was just sort of lost in the fact that I was just being overworked and underpaid. But I was like, who else gets to work and do the things that we got to do in that capacity?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking clean up my act. It's going to be a new start. It's going to be a brand new day. Jim, why don't you come in here for a second? I'm like, yeah, no problem, boss. What you want? What you need? He's like, well, we had a meeting. Good. Meetings are good. You know, you want to meet with people and talk to them about stuff. You know, that's always important. He's like, okay. And so during the meeting, we talked. Good. Talking, communication,
good, yep.
Very key.
We are in the communications business.
There
so
it is.
Right?
Exactly. I minored in communications, and why are you rallying for
I don't
the Dutch
know.
Right
I
now?
Don't, I decided, well, because my hair is in my face.
Just, if you're rallying for my career, you might as well just take the hat off and burn it. But so, yeah, basically he boils it down for me. He's like, yeah, we're going to give you a headcount reduction and give me that look of like, you know what that means, right? I'm just sort of like, I need to see a shrink. You know, you want me to get a haircut? Like, what does a headcount reduction really mean? And so, yeah, I got shit canned.
Your head was a lot bigger then. So.
Yeah, well, because it was awesomer then. But, you know, by the time Miles Around actually was off the air, James, you were the only one still drawing a paycheck full time from them. And you were being worked more than full fucking time at that
but
time.
But I had been told, oh, my God, I don't think I've ever talked about this. I came in one morning, a month before I was let go. I got pulled into Senor fuck his ass.
It's pronounced office. Differently in this hemisphere. It's very pronounced very differently.
And he sat me down and he basically said...
It has kind of
said,
an origin of French, I believe.
Yeah.
He basically told me that... and this was like first part of March.
Yeah.
He told me April 1st we're letting you go. So I had like advanced what? Notice.
Who the fuck does some shit like that? By the way, we're going to work you like a fucking rented mule for the next 30 fucking
dump
days.
Dump you in a ditch.
Yeah. But don't worry. Because April 1st, you're gone.
And then as soon as I was gone, he started bad-mouthing me to everyone.
Which, like, okay, no one would fucking believe that for a hot second because of how hard you worked and how much they put you through.
But I was like, I felt vindicated like a couple weeks later when I found out that because he basically fired everyone who did all his work, the station kind of went off the air for like 12 hours.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
12 hours
that.
Of silence, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he didn't know how to do his damn job.
Ironically,
no.
Justice.
Ironically, Depeche Mode was the last song that played. Enjoy the silence. 12 hours later. Oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah. Had to hit start. They had to hire a guy who they had fired a couple months before to come in and teach him how to
had
work
to
the program
that
scheduled the music.
Well, insult couldn't meet injury.
So they couldn't just go, you know what? Fuck you, you're fired.
As somebody who's not in the industry, what is there like repercussions when the station's off air? Is there like fines?
Yeah, FCC fines.
Okay,
big
that's
fines.
What I was, that's what I thought.
You could lose your license.
Not only FCC fines, but you've got all the people that are buying ad time on your fucking station.
Yeah, you have to make all that up, so you're losing money on.
And it isn't like I'm sorry. It isn't like, you know, like a 20-second spot is the same at any point of the day.
Yeah.
If it's during the height of the day, that means that little 30
traffic
seconds
time.
Is the most expensive 30 seconds of the day. So if you leave 12 solid hours, there's supposed to be a break, what, twice an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Within the first 15 or 20 minutes of the hour, or the last 15 and 20 minutes of the hour. And then you also, as a station, you have to run what's called legal, which is like, hey, you're listening to Rock 101 KUFO, where dreams go to die, everybody. Come on,
why does everybody go into this voice when they start doing
the radio station?
Because that's
voice?
The typical radio douchebag
the
voice.
Puke, the pukey fucking like, hey, everybody, I'm an empty shell.
All three of us are guilty of it at one point or another.
Yeah.
Welcome to the morning show, honk, honk, honk.
Dingo and the baby.
I knew it. Dingo.
Meh, meh, meh.
Weenie and the butt.
Weenie and the butts. Yeah, no, because and the sad thing is, radio people love that episode of Family Guy so much because you couldn't have
There's
hit that
so
nail any square or harder if you tried.
So, Dennis, you're out of a job.
Nice segue.
Master of
on the
segues.
Happy side.
James Robinson.
We're all out of work. Now, I got, this is funny, because I got fired. I wasn't allowed to do Miles Around, and there was at least two or three episodes after that before the show was totally shit-canned.
Yeah, I believe it was something like that. Sorry about the yawning, trying to get some oxygen to my brain. there was
want
a
some
couple.
More urine? You want some more urine?
No,
good?
No, I'm
good. Solid?
Okay. I've got my 8 ounces a day. That's all I can do.
Because it's sterile and he likes the taste.
As the Lord intended.
Yes. There's no large sign above me that's going to fall, is there? I'm out of a job and I'm wondering what am I going to do because everything that could implode does. And I tell the story as kind of the, I guess you'd say every door closed that could close and then the biggest door opens, which is an opportunity to go down and work with Entertainment Radio Network and do a radio show for Hot Rod Magazine.
Oh, I thought he was going to say I got to do porn.
No. No.
That is the biggest door. Let's be honest here.
No, because, you know, the fluffer rates just
the
don't work
door.
Out after taxes. So I get...
This pump's not going to prime itself. You understand me? You understand me? Get a pizza burger. Put the sandwich down. Get over here and service me. God damn it.
Wow.
Not so enthusiastic.
I didn't realize you were in the room.
That's what she said.
Yes. anybody. Where's the button with the weenie in the butt stuff?
I mean, weenie in the butt.
He'll edit that in, I am sure of that.
So, no, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. The business folded. The house got repossessed. All the toys got repossessed.
Jesus.
Money is gone. Credit cards are maxed. And, I was pretty much at that point of what do I do? What is there to do?
Buy a bullet and rent a gun?
No, I would have.
Couldn't afford that. Credit cards were maxed.
No, I would have ate my own gun. So I did. You know, I kind of got the chance of a lifetime, which is weird. It was kind of that, Phoenix out of the rising ashes, Phoenix rising out of the ashes kind of thing, where I got really lucky to do this job for Hot Rod Magazine. That was probably the biggest thing that could have happened to me, was to go to work for Hot Rod Magazine as their radio show host.
Holy shit.
And what was funny is I was just in between the week that we did the part one,
mm-hmm.
I went down to Edelbrock's 10th annual car show.
I saw that.
And, people that follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And what was crazy was
Car Guy Dennis.
Car Guy Dennis, thank you for the plug. And so we're sitting there, and what was funny is I was sitting there, and I was talking to Vic Edelbrock Jr. and Eric Blakely, who's the marketing guy over there.
Shameless.
We're sitting there. And we realized that it was last weekend, 6 years ago, that I had gotten that job and I started working. And that's where the very first radio show for Hot Rod Magazine was at that show.
Holy shit.
6 years ago, last weekend.
Yeah.
And so that parlayed into working for a lot of the stuff for Hot Rod, doing Hot Rod Power Tours videos. And along the way, I did a lot of different, freelance stuff, kind of got me into a lot of different shows around the country, which was cool because I wasn't dumb. I knew how to sell the package.
I knew how to
take the radio show and go somewhere. So I got to go to a lot of different things. I mean, everything from Carcraft Nats, to Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals, to SEMA, and on and on and on and on and on. And it was a great run. So it was, I can be, depending on the day, I could be negative about it. I could be, bummed out about it. But the reality is, even though everything that I had worked so hard to create here in Portland had literally just gone right down the proverbial tubes, a new and beginning had started.
My eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Only for a moment, and the moment's gone.
I don't have
gone.
That voice in this head anymore. But no, it was crazy.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's
yes, you did.
But this show is always about just stepping on other fucking people. But no, I will say this about Mr. fucking Dennis Pitzenberger. A, you work hard all day, every day, sun up, sun down. You are busting your ass. You have ambition. You have drive. When there's no product to sell, you can sell it. When there's a product to sell, you are the man to go to that knows how to get the fucking job done, period. Now, with that said, also, you also take care of those that that have helped you. You took care of
James. I was waiting for where the hell was my cut, but okay, go ahead.
No.
I was going to go the award for Ass Kisser of the Year, this year's winner, Big Jim Willie.
Sir, you're taint, if I may. I've nuzzled many. But some better, very few. Very few better than yours.
There's only one.
Yeah.
Well, we can ask James about James's, so...
Yeah.
Anyway,
I
appreciate the positivity. Ambition is one thing that I don't lack. It really is just ADHD.
Yeah.
Masked in a bunch.
You get a bag
caffeine.
Of that? Get some?
I have it right now. That's okay. That's why I drink.
And this tape will be turned over to the FBI.
Send them in, boys. But not just in radio though, but like in other aspects of life. Because after I got fired from KUFO. I was, like, decimated. I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do because this was, like, in my mind, this was the biggest opportunity career-wise of my life. And then to have it just disappear in a heartbeat, I was in shock. And Dennis, you were, like, you called me up one day, like, are you still looking for work? And I'm just like, yeah. And he's like, I tell you what, you were at the time working at, actually, down the road from this very place that we're sitting right now, there was a very high-end, like, sports car and, like, luxury car dealership that you were working at.
Yeah.
As a sales guy. And, like, we need a guy that'll come in and, like, wash cars and they basically do some odd job type of shit. Are you interested? I'm like, fuck yes, I am. And so I go.
Funny, I never got that call, Dennis.
Well, you were working at the time.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, sorry.
Well, he knew that you had marketable skills. Again, slap dick, ass kisser, no real, like substance to my talents. But, and again, don't feel heartbroken because the job only lasted for a week. They were like, we'll give you 7 days as a tester to see if you work out well. One of the jobs they gave me was I was supposed to hang banners inside their showroom.
And they were all crooked.
You know this story. You know where this is going. So I'm there, and one of the guys that I'm working with is the son of one of the sales guys. Mm-hmm. And this kid, you know, was like maybe 16, 17 years old. So I can't give him, I can't say I'm too bad because, I mean, we're all like kind of distracted and idiots when we're that age. So he's got his cell phone and he's on it the whole fucking time. He's taking pictures of the shitty fucking like Volkswagen, whatever the fuck it was that he bought.
He was a moron.
Yeah. And so he's more interested in doing that than actually getting work done. I need this fucking job. I don't want it. I need this fucking job. So I am there. I'm on the fucking ladder. Now, this is nothing about this job was fucking like regimented by any kind of means. It was all kind of like, you know, under the table kind of thing. But I was up on a ladder, which was propped against the wall, and I had a screw gun. Now, Chuckle Dick, that's supposed to be at the bottom.
Is that his name?
Frederick Chuckle Dick, yes. or no, Emerald Chuckle Dick, the third. Several Chuckle Dicks in the family. It's a very common name in Cockshire, where they're from. So anyway, I'm on the fucking ladder, right? And I'm trying to screw in to like the wall this banner and make sure it looks right and everything else. Now, Chuckle Dick at the bottom, the third, is supposed to be propping up the ladder so it doesn't do what? Slide away from the fucking wall. Now, what's below me? Well, there's the ground. No car. Thank God there was no car. But something that cost you about as much.
We're going to fire you, and you have to pay for that Lamborghini you fell on.
Thank God it was a Lamborghini, but it was a $10,000 wheel balancing digital fucking like high end. It was like AI. It was like a robot that came out of a wall and would balance your fucking tires for you, whatever. Yeah. And that's below me. As I'm on the wall trying to push with the fucking drill into the wall, the fucking ladder starts to slip. And have you ever been on a ladder when that happens? Because it's a very kind of Bugs Bunny kind of cartoon moment. Because the wall's going like this.
Down, yeah.
Yeah. And so I fall off the fucking ladder.
No.
And my knee fucking just breaks this $10,000 fucking wheel balancing machine. And I think I broke my fucking leg. Like, I can't put any weight on it. I'm in fucking a lot of pain. But I'm trying to laugh it off. Because, again, I need this fucking job. Where's the kid? Oh, he's off in the corner. Like, oh, what happened? What the fuck do you mean? What do you mean? What happened? So I'm in the back room trying to laugh. I'm just like, yeah, I'll be fine. Just a cup of water. Just give me a minute. I'll be fine. I'm just like, let the swelling go down. Luckily, nothing broke. I was able to, like, you know, hobble away after that. But sadly, they didn't ask me back after that. But
that was a hard sell. I mean, to the boss. So, Dennis, your buddy Jim. Well, he was here for a week.
He's a great guy. Great guy.
Great guy. Lots of
meetings,
ambition.
Talking and stuff.
And then he fell on my brand new tire machine.
And no one asked why you fell on it.
This kid was a mess. I mean, I'll pick on him a little bit. This is the same kid who, a little bit after you left, and I don't know if I ever told you this story. Mm-mm. He, with said cell phone that he was on 24/7, decided to take some pictures of himself on the internet. We found out that he was going off to serve our military, which he did. So kudos to him for entering into these armed forces.
He's dead now.
No, he's not dead.
Friendly fire.
Member of the Jackass Brigade.
That could happen to him.
What is it? It was a bar of soap and a towel. They just like, they give him the old fucking towel treatment.
Sock and quarters.
So come to find out, this poor kid had not had the how would you put it? The pleasure of a woman.
Oh well.
To that point in his life, he had not had the opportunity to lie with a woman in love. And
know a woman's touch.
Know a woman's touch of any kind, apparently. So
maybe not in love, maybe just in like short term rent or lease with an option
well,
to buy.
That's where the Craigslist ad comes in.
What? Craigslist?
So we had found a Craigslist, because if you remember, there was a gentleman working there, which I believe is actually still working there, who had then at that point was dating a porn star girl doing his own videos. Who was pimping her out and her...
Jesus Christ, what kind of car dealership was this?
What's it going to take to put you into my wife and into this car?
Let me answer that question like all of them.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So, anyway, he had...
Mental note, we're going to get more car dealers on the show.
Yes, yes. Well, the young lady that was in this story also had a very particular talent of taking a beer can and crushing it with a certain orifice of her body.
Whoa.
Oh, it was... Yeah. So, anyway,
the second softest taint I've ever met.
Well, he had ended up putting this ad on Craigslist to try to obtain the touch of a woman, and then we got a hold of the ad.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. We had left messages and meeting times and had, you know, photography
Jesus
of him, like,
Christ.
Wandering a parking lot, like, tapping on cars. Are you supposed to get me laid? Are you supposed to get me laid? Are you supposed to get me laid? And then we let him off the hook because he was so embarrassed. I mean, this poor kid's probably still traumatized by that. But, no, yeah, he had gone off. He went and served the armed forces. I don't even know if he's still in, but...
Still hasn't known the gentle touch of a woman, though.
But he did go... Well, he did go into the Navy, so he's had the gentle touch. I just don't know from what.
It's called the Dutch rudder. No.
He's never known the gentle touch of a woman, but he does know a lot of semen.
Yes. Oh. Wow, that was...
I thought better of you, James.
I should have
really
said
did.
Tasted a lot.
Wow. The low-lying fruit on this tree is plentiful.
The tree is underground.
This point. We are digging up this low-lying fruit.
Well, at the same time I was working there, I had gotten the call to go out and work at Hot Rod Magazine anyway. Flash forward a little while. And, you know, through another person's, as we talk about the people's, like the Chris Paddocks or the Mark
Adolf
Wayland,
Hitlers of history.
The Adolf
yeah.
Hitlers.
The villains of our lives.
Yeah.
He ended up, you know, kind of goofing up the whole deal. For Hot Rod, he had made several promises and didn't deliver. It's kind of one of those things where I made a major stamp in my to-do list of anything that I do. And I really had it before that, but it was something that was very obvious.
Yeah.
Under promise and over deliver is the way you do it. Over promise and under deliver is the way you
lose
it.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, that had gone away and I was back. God, I'm trying to think of what I was doing. I was working there and I was working in, you know, freelance stuff here and there doing stuff.
Contract killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was still.
You weren't
on
supposed to mention that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well because
is here. My face red? No. Tell me, is it red? Is there a dot on it? Tell me.
Well, he had again.
Everyone else,
doors,
get down.
With the doors closing and the doors opening, which was funny about that is I'd been approached a few months before that about doing TV, and that same gentleman who screwed the deal up with Hot Rod Magazine and the radio show. I mean, whatever. I mean, more power to him. He's off in his own little world. pardon me. He ended up opening another door, which was they had asked me to do TV. He didn't want me to do it. He wanted to own me as an entity. I was under contract for it. You know how that goes.
Your
like
wife owns
slavery?
You.
Yeah, that's true too. But you know, the professional side of my life, he had owned that.
She owns controlling stock of your ass.
Yes, she has 51% for sure. So they reached back out to me the day my contract was up, as far as my exclusivity, I had literally called them that day. And they were like, come to LA. And it was 48 hours later, I'm sitting in a hotel. I'd already met these guys before. And all of a sudden, 48 hours, I'm in a hotel restaurant having lunch with these guys about doing TV. And that
Holy
was where
shit.
That all kind of started. So it was a kind of a whirlwind thing where I know what you feel or felt, excuse me. I know what you felt when KUFO imploded on you.
Yeah.
That's where I was at that. And I was trying to stay, pardon me, as positive as possible. Just at that point, I'm just assessing the in and out and the steaks in the freezer. I have this many months worth of rent. I have this many bills paid forward. Where do I go from
here?
I
have about 6 months before I start sucking dick for money.
And all of a
sudden, there's a calendar with like X's on it. And then like one day he's got a big cock.
Exactly.
Fortunately, his wife never came in the bathroom when he's practicing. His mouth exercises.
Okay, so I'm gonna. All right. No, I. when we were. I'm just gonna slow down.
I thought we were having a real. I thought we were having a. No, go ahead.
No, when we were still on the air and stuff, and you had some people that were supposed to be paying for ad time on Miles Around, and some of your other entities, you would call me as your enforcer and be like, I need you to go to work. I need you to be my enforcer. So I would go around to all these places driving whose Cadillac?
Whose Cadillac? Yours?
No, no, not my Cadillac. Whose Cadillac did you
oh,
give
mine.
Me? The white one, yeah.
The enforcer rig.
Yeah. And I would drive around to these spots, and I put on like the soundtrack to The Sopranos, and smoke, get a cigar in my mouth, and I pull up, and I'm like...
Got his aviators on.
You owe me, Mr. Pittsburgh, a little bit of money, so I'm going to leave it here till there's a check and stuff. And so like...
I do have to give you tenacity doing that, because I remember you would call me... Well, they didn't, you know, you didn't know what to say because they would kind of try to blow you off. And I'm like, just stand there at the counter until they give you the money.
Yeah.
And it was kind of one of those things where attrition just, you know, listen, I mean, I remember a couple of times guys like, who is this guy waiting for something for you? And I'm like, well, he's going to be waiting there until either you throw him out at closing time.
We call him Jimmy Knuckles.
Yeah.
Don't mess with him.
And if he's there at closing time, then he follows you to your fucking house. And if he's at your fucking house, now, you know, fires ain't just they're a thing of nature, right? Fires happen.
Accidents happen.
Houses burn. People get tied to chairs. It's a weird world in which we live.
Bunnies end up in pots.
You know. So weird, so weird.
Legs but get broken.
I will never say that Dennis Pitzenberger does not work for everything that he fucking has. And you put your ass as far on the fucking line as possible. You were at one point, you were paying us out of your own fucking pocket.
Well, I was going to say, it wasn't my ass, it was my credit cards.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what was on the line. And yeah, we maxed those out too. That was another. I get nice little letters every once in a while about those. I've never paid those back.
You're like,
I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't want to go into my personal financial thing, but you know, let's just say Dennis isn't out going looking for a loan anytime soon. Nobody really loans me money anymore.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Eventually they forget about it.
I know. It's like 7 years or something. Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, that was kind of the end. And then it was funny. I went down there and I remember it was very surreal because I'm sitting in this restaurant and at the time I was drinking and I'm drinking like a $35 glass of scotch.
Drink it slow.
I know, I did.
Taste
I
it. Well, savor it.
I know. And I was eating it all
over. Chew your food.
It was either $25 or $30 chicken Caesar salad.
Jesus. It's fucking chicken and lettuce.
I know.
With old bread and salad dressing.
Well, it was topped with gold flakes. Yes.
You were filleted by each fleek, each leaf. Of
chickens, before they cut them up and cook them up, they come out and they fillet you.
Wow.
Yes, yes. I actually believe it was like the lobster place where you go out and you pick your live chicken, and then they cook it right there. No, no. I mean,
that one will die for my lunch.
So I...
Sir, would you like to pick the method in which the chicken dies? Yeah, hit by a car mysteriously. You know what I mean?
Well, I went down there and we had that first meeting, which was crazy. Flew back to Portland, and then a couple weeks later had another meeting, and then it was all the big bosses, and which was kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
If you can imagine, now I'm in like the smoky LA bar, and I'm in a big round table, and I'm in the spot where literally there's no chance of me getting out of the table. You know, there's like four dudes on this side of me and three dudes on that side. And it was funny because then we're already sitting there. Everybody's like, go. And then in comes the boss. And
Mr. Big.
Mr. Big, which is actually truly one of the
I'm here
guys.
To make you an offer you can't refuse.
Well, actually, it was more like, I'll do anything to be on TV. Please hire me. So, I mean, in between cocktails and plates of calamari and all these hors d'oeuvres and everything, because they were all... just like it was a regular meeting. You know, I had not been to one of these TV-type meetings. I'm not trying to stereotype TV. It was just, this was a really cool production house that everyone there has worked there for a long time. They're very family-esque. It was a really, and all the people that I met even that day are still all working there. I'm friends with all of them on Facebook. I'm friends with them. I know the projects they're on now. I mean, there's several projects that are on TV right now that I could tell you where all these guys are working. And anyway... So, you know, Mr. Big, his name is James, Jim.
It's a good name, solid name.
It's a good, solid name. Jim walks in and I
Jim Chuckledick the third.
And it wasn't
the fourth. The fourth. The fourth. We already talked about the third.
Well, Jim walks in and sits down, introduces himself. Very cool cat. Very, you know, well put together. But the thing that I noticed was all of these guys in Hollywood, or at least in this TV industry group that I was sitting with, obviously they all make good money. They obviously have, you know, very, very lively you know, livelihoods and jobs and whatnot, but very sedate. You know, not the $300, you know, tie and the $7,000 suit and all that. The guy like walked in like blue jeans and like flip flops. He was a very cool cat. Very
yeah. When you're that rich, you don't have to dress it. You can fucking wear whatever fuck you want.
Well, to give you, it could have been, but yeah. I mean, to give you an idea, I had just made the mention we had talked earlier in the podcast about I was down at Edelbrock doing that show. I had just made a mention on Facebook I was going to be down there and I was doing some social networking for that for Edelbrock and for Optimum Batteries and whatnot. He just showed up. Drove all the way across L.A., which is not like driving to Hillsboro in Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a dedication right there. That's a trek.
It's you. It's like three midgets. There's a short guy with a battle axe. There's an elf.
Sherpa.
Yeah, there's a Sherpa. Yeah.
So,
no, fuck no.
So anyway, but the guy actually, and he came and saw me at the car show just to kind of touch base. And, you know, there's some other projects in the mix. We can talk about that later. But so we put the deal together and he's like, what do you want to do? And this is kind of the cool part of the story is because I'm very happy to say I took part in the actual core idea and development of the TV show Highway to Sell.
Nice.
Which, by the way, went by a different name, which was really cool in one way. And then we were
Cars and Bitches. Cars and Bitches.
That was on the table, and I think Discovery said no.
We're okay with the cars part.
I don't know. I don't want to get in a lot of trouble, but if I do, I'm sorry to anyone I get in trouble with.
This show has got a lot of listeners.
Yes, well, it's too late now. The show got canceled.
So you're fine.
There's even a bridge to burn. The fuck do you care?
The original name of Highway to Sell was called Dealing Steel. And
don't like it.
I kind of like that.
See, 50-50 in the room. We were actually, it was very one-sided because I think it's because when we had decided on this name, everybody had already been working on the show for about 3 or 4 months before we went to shoot. And then there was, you know, for whatever marketing or sales or whatever, however, they had decided to change the name to Highway to Sell, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was cool with it.
Probably focus.
Yeah, folks. Yeah. I mean, a meeting about a meeting. So
how do you know all this shit, Bryce?
He's an insider.
He's an insider. He's actually watching you in your bedroom window every night, so I know what you're doing.
I am so sorry for the masturbation. I am so... A lot of weird things. Well...
I'm hiding.
I see you.
So anyway, we sit down, and he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to do a car show that isn't like anything else on the air. So, but we got to look at it. You know, you look at it from the 30,000 foot level and you go, okay, so the basis of our show will be obviously resurrection, replacement, you know, whatever word you want to put on it to get said car back on the road.
Yeah.
How do we do it so it's different? And I was right out of the, I mean, I just kind of had one of these like, oh yeah, I know. What about this? And everybody kind of
please tell
there.
Me you used that voice when you were in a meeting.
I think I actually did. That was probably my internal voice.
Hello.
I probably sounded like that when I said it because I was probably so scared. Because, I mean, in this room where I'm sitting with these people, you know, this is that is definitely part of it. That's the sprinkle on top of the fact that all these guys have developed, you know, or worked on 100 different TV shows. So this is not something new to them. This is something that is like, you know, they instantly know failure or success like that. And so I'm like, well, let's do something different. Let's do it where we don't buy the car, take the car, hide the car, whatever it is that's already on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Let's partner with the owner and give them the opportunity. And that's where the, you know, the whole schematic of the show drew out, which was I will partner with Big Jim on the Lincoln.
Yeah.
And what we'll do is I will put my time, my money, my efforts, my crew into it. And then when we're said and done, we'll take it to auction and you can either take the percentage off the top and buy it, or you can take the percentage as profit, or you can, you know, or just say off the car and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So,
which I got to say was an incredible concept.
Yeah. Well, it was really cool, you know, and it was
definitely something that was new. There wasn't anything like that on
And that's why we really have come on. Now, this is not, I'm not talking like I stood up and, you know, there was a spotlight from across the room on me. And I know what we'll do. We'll do this. And it'll be great. But all of a sudden, you know, we start, you know, we're writing this on, you know, anything we can write on the table.
Napkin. Give me a napkin.
Waiter, give me your hand.
And all
give me that chicken.
Give me the other side of that chicken that's not cooked.
Excuse me, can I get another $12 ice cube in my $35 scotch, please?
That's about right.
Well, it was California.
It was true. California. There was a tap.
Water is very scarce there. Too soon? Is it too soon? Sorry.
No. So not anyway, we it all comes together, and so now there's six or seven guys at this table just going, I think we're onto something. I think we're really onto something.
Oh, this dentist guy is smart.
Of course, that might have been their thoughts, but obviously in my head I'm thinking, oh my God, I pulled one out of my ass again. I pulled a cool idea out of my ass, and they like it.
These guys are stupider than those guys I used to do radio with.
You're like, you're
the cool kid in school.
Yeah.
You look at yourself, you're like, Pitsenberger, you did it again.
I did it again. Really, I'm just like, oh, God, please let it come together. So, anyway, we, you know.
Struts out of the restaurant.
Yeah. It's more like, God, I hope I don't have to pay that bill.
I stole everyone's silverware.
Yeah.
It was real fucking silver.
I mean, the crab cake deal was like $80. So I was stuffing crab cakes in my pocket for the ride home on the plane.
They kept wondering why Dennis goes, oh, is that Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah. Chicken wings in my pocket. So it just kind of started there. And then all of a sudden they, you know, and what's really cool, and I will give them a lot of props, you know, it's a company called 1202 Productions, and they took that idea along with, and again, not my idea. They took the idea that all of us then accumulated all of these great thoughts and how to do it and where to do it. And they ran with it, and they just started developing it. And then it came down to, obviously we had to find a shop to do it in.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole nother chapter there, but you know, we had taken the time to do everything we had to do to kind of foster this idea and put it together.
Yeah.
And then it was, okay, we need a shop to do it in. Where are we going to do it? And that's where, again, not that they were trying to hamper it in any way. It's not a Chris Paddock kind of thing, so don't think of it that way. I know we're using him as a punching bag, but...
good. Yes. I know. Where is he nearby?
Quick shot to the kidneys for Chris Paddock. We have to figure out not a show, because Discovery and them at the production company didn't want to just do it again in Southern California.
Yeah.
Kind of a, you know, a lot of the shows are done in Southern California. So where do we go? And they start going, and I give them this huge hit list of people. Well, along the same time that they're talking to me about, you know, developing a show, they meet this guy, Slick. And I had met Slick years ago when I was doing the Hot Rod show in one of the cavalcades of interviews, because when I used to do my radio show at Hot Rod at SEMA, I'd met him at SEMA, the Special Equipment Manufacturer Association, huge trade show, biggest one of the year every year in Las Vegas. I would do, I mean, I'm not kidding, guys. You think we banged out some interviews doing miles around. I would be on the mic at 9 a.m., off the mic at 6 p.m., and I never moved. I would just sit there and do interview after... It was like that, and it wasn't, and it was every, because we had a great voice with that radio show, and it was obviously a nationally syndicated program. The best part of it was, is, I mean, all the handlers, all the PR people, all the marketing executives, all these would want to get their guys, plus all the stars. And this is where, you know, I met everybody from Richard Petty and Boyd Coddington and Chip Foose. And, you know, I mean, you just name them, I probably interviewed them. And it was funny because...
Bobby.
Never got a chance to meet him. Would have been cool.
He's an elitist. Don't feel bad.
Shake and bake, baby.
That just happened. So I ended up meeting him, and he was on the list of people. Help me, Martha Stewart. And so we ended up, you know, they ended up getting, you know, him involved in the project. And all of a sudden, it's like, buddy, you're going to Florida for a week. And
Is that a term in the business? Like, dude, sorry, you're going to Florida for a week.
Well,
like, go to the fucking quiet room.
Florida is a whole. We might have to go to part three if we include Florida in this podcast.
Jesus,
Florida is. I mean, that is the nicest way I've ever heard anybody say that.
Unique, like. bath salts is a unique experience when you smoke it.
Yes, yes. I'll give you one instance.
There's different ways to take Florida in.
Yes. Yeah. In the show, there's actually one of the parts of, I think it was episode 2 or 3, in Highway to Sell, where I'm driving around with Slick in that convertible GTO, and I was like, what is with all the people just wandering through the middle of the streets? Do you not have jaywalking laws around here? And he goes, no, they're drunks. Oh, okay. And that was it. I mean, just randomly.
Well, that guy's the mayor, also drunk, but yeah. Still.
I mean, anyway, drunks everywhere. So anyway, we go down to Florida, we go into Slick's shop, and we shoot a sizzle reel, which is a little bit of a different kind of way we went at it, but that was what the beauty of the idea and the concept of the show, why it was so great. And I appreciate you guys kind of giving me the kudos on that, because we went down there, we literally shot for, my memory says 3, I think it was 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
We had shot basically which would be like the trailers leading up to the next week's episode of the show. It was a very, I mean, I still have a copy of it. It's really actually cool to watch. It was about 8 minutes long. They shot the sizzle reel. They cut it. And then I'm back on a plane to Portland. Now, this is the part where the nerves start to get to you. Now, I'm not expecting to get rich. I'm not expecting to, all of a sudden I'm, ordering my G4 airplane and, I'm looking at houses up in the hill. I'm like, wow, is this really going to happen? Because it's kind of one of those things like, I didn't realize that the production company and Jim, with a great relationship that he has with all these different networks, had already kind of put all this legwork together to get the show on air.
Uh-huh.
So he goes, and they got the show. It's sold. They won episodes. We're ready to go. I have not even seen the sizzle reel. Yeah. And you want to talk about pestering. I think there was a point where, I mean, well, for starters, I know the receptionist at the production company. I mean, I would just go, hello, and she'd be like, hi, Dennis. And she would go through the laundry list, because I'm sure there was some sort of, like, bat light that went off. It was like, no, I'm sorry. So-and-so, 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 they're all not here again to talk to you about what you're not going to see. Because I want to see the sizzle reel so bad. And finally, after it's all kind of said and done, and we're not even at the production point, we're not even going to Florida, we don't even have the contracts yet, they fly me back down to L.A. Did a little voice work and whatnot to kind of fill it in, and then I get to sit down in Jim's office. Now, again, not an elaborate office. I mean, his office was about the size of this room, just a nice regular dude, and beautiful office, which is funny because, side note, office on the outside looked like something out of, like, The Walking Dead. I mean, barbed wire and locks on the doors and the door to get in and all that. You walk inside.
Windows are boarded up.
Well, not boarded up, but, I mean, like, it was...
Corpses, rotting.
It was, like, dead flesh. But, I mean, like, they had, like, the steel cage inside the steel cage inside the window you can't see in to go inside the building.
They had those steel roll-up windows.
They had those. And so I go inside, and it's like Shangri-La. I mean, beautiful, decorating, and, beautiful, beautiful place. And I walk around, and of
course... Sushi served off of naked women?
No, not quite that good. My wife wasn't there. And it would have been
good
just...
Save.
It would have been
good
my own. It would have been my own personal cheese platter.
Yeah.
So
I'll just have some hummus, thank you. You don't want to know where the hummus comes from.
So I go in there, and I'm literally sweating bullets over this. I mean, I really am. I've never seen what all of this work, and not realizing it was so much work at shooting the actual show. I had thought, wow, this was a lot of work we put into this. Of course, for 8 minutes of footage. And by the way, those three, and it was 4 days shooting. Each one of those days was 15, 16 hours. I mean,
Jesus.
It was from the crack of dawn until it was midnight, have a drink, go to bed. And so by the time I get there, everybody in the building knows who I am, because they've been staring at my face on the editing machines, on the voice machines, on the color correction machines. And there's so much more that goes into TV that you really realize until you watch and meet all these people. Hey, Dennis, hey, Dennis, hey, Dennis, hey, Dennis. It's like, I don't know any of these people. And they all and I remember, because one of the other guys that works there goes, dude, we've been staring at your face for a month. So we know exactly
And we're not happy.
And we're not happy about it.
You should probably get that mole.
Yeah, you know, it's, the camera does add that much weight.
Don't commit a crime because everyone in here can give describe you to a fucking T.
Yes, but I mean, you know, and of course, along this way, I am sworn to the secrecy of, you know, death become me. I mean, I cannot tell anyone about it. I cannot share the stills that I took with my phone. I cannot tell anyone about it. It's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
And I sit down in Jim's office. And he's got a great TV. It's probably his... I got a 65. It was bigger than that. And...
elitist.
I turn... well, I bought it off a crackhead. And right behind Foster Auto Parts for $300. I'm not rolling.
Good save.
Thank you. I actually... no, that's another story.
stay on target.
Stay on target. And so the small hatch right below the exhaust port. And so I get into this room and they're like, are you ready? And I'm like, I'm just, I don't even know what to do. And I'm sitting there and
I'm at full staff. Of course I'm ready.
Well, everybody's really quiet and everybody's really calm. I know we were kind of excited leading up to this, but
they're all looking at you a little sad.
Well, I mean, everybody, well, no, actually everybody's really excited. They love what they see, but that you can see that it's like with bated breath. It's like, you know, we got to see what Dennis thinks. And I tell you what, man, that 8-minute sizzle reel, they played it on the TV. He turns it on. And I just sat there and I watched it. I didn't say a word. I didn't move. I was welling up with emotion. I will be very honest about
it. Did you cry milk?
No, I didn't cry milk. But I was, I really, honestly, I was welling up with a lot of emotion because it was, this was this big turning point. It was,
oh, dude,
really,
yeah.
It was an emotional time for me at that very moment. I can remember what shorts, what shirt, the time of day, the kind of, I mean, it was where I was sitting, how I was sitting, everything, yeah. Watching this. And I remember it's done. Nobody says a word. Nobody even murmurs, you know, did you like it? You know, and I just remember looking over at Jim, and I'm starting to well up with emotion. And all I remember looking at him and go, can I watch it again? And it was, and they're like, wait a minute, what'd you think? And I go, dude, and I just remember looking at him going, I am, well, I keep forgetting it's a podcast. I am not, these exact words came out of my mouth, and I will forever remember this moment in my life. I remember looking at the TV screen and going, I am not that fucking cool.
I thought he was going to say not that fucking fat.
Wow. Ouch. And that and my emotional moment is past.
Snatching insult from the mouth of compliment.
Fuck you, James. No, I mean, it was just one of those moments where, I mean, you guys wanted me to kind of spill a little guts here. That was a very emotional moment for me. I was blown away. That sizzle reel, I remember, I mean, literally, those were the words that came out of my mouth. I am not that fucking cool. And they all laughed, and then, of course, we played it again.
Yeah.
And then I just sat there, and I remember, because scotch is apparently the thing in L.A., I look over on the shelf and I'm like, I need a big glass of that.
Yeah.
And he poured me a 4-fingered glass of some, you know, $125 bottle of scotch, which of course nice. Was gone in about 2 seconds.
Freaking baller.
And so, I mean,
well, after how long of struggling through all this muck and then, you know, seeing 8 minutes of gloriousness of what is.
What they want to
and you didn't? Did you even know at this point that it had been picked up? And
no, was... no, that was the thing. I mean, they were the sizzle reel. I think that they probably already had that in the works.
Yeah.
I wasn't privy to that information at that point
because no one was ever in to take your call.
I think it was more of a in knowing now what I you know the whole joke about if I knew then what I knew now kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think they did that on purpose to kind of keep me in the dark. They knew I was already a stress case about it. They knew that I was already very, you know, wound up about what was going to happen to it. So when it was time for them to go out and shop it and do their thing, and it was cool because there actually was a little bit of a, I guess, a bidding war. One network wanted it. The other network decided to step up kind of thing. I mean, I don't know any of those particulars. That's not my part of the business.
But just knowing that networks were bidding over you.
Well, that was the crazy thing. And I'm sitting there and I just, and of course the first thing out of, I need a copy of this. And they're like, it'll never happen. You know, I'm like, you guys are killing me. You're going to let me watch this twice. So we talk and we're BSing in the office and I'm excited about it. And we kind of play it back, but on the chunks, you know, so we can stop. And this is what we did here. And this is what we did there. And it just, the sizzle reel, it's funny because if you leapfrog forward into, like, say, mid-season production, that exact sizzle reel probably kept a lot of people from going completely AWOL. And completely just, I mean, we were, for lack of better ways to put it, we were by choice overworked. We were, the days were extremely long. Once we got into several weeks of shooting, we were extremely exhausted. I mean, it was literally, call times in the morning. And I mean, it was a mandatory 12-hour day. In the first 80 days or first 40 days I was there, I took 1.5 days off. At 12-hour day minimum, and then I was always there an hour early. I was always 2 hours late. So, I mean, it was, for lack of better ways to put it, man, it was a ball buster. But going back to when we made the show, the sizzle reel now is out, and now we're waiting. Now, all of a sudden, I got to hire an agent. I got to hire an entertainment attorney. I got to hire a handler. All these things that I got to hire. And I'm like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I know why people are poor when they're in show business, because 25 cents of every dollar just walked out the front door. Yeah. And whatever. I mean, my agent's great. I mean, he's a great guy. Sean is an incredible guy. Matt over Discovery, a great conduit between me and the network. Chris Abrams is my entertainment attorney. He started to read this, 35-page contract, which to me, I would have rather tried to program a PC. It was a informational packet from the worst instructional, a disease you've ever, got. And of course, I have to, walk through him with well, what's this mean and what's that mean? And and I was like, dude, I'm sorry. And he's like, don't sweat it. Your first one. You've never done it, man. Don't sweat it. A lot of red tape back and forth, this and that. And they really... not that anyone was being ornery about it. It's just that Discovery very much wanted me not to do a lot of the things I was already doing. They wanted me not to go to Power Tour for Hot Rod, or not to go to this show or that show. They wanted me exclusive. And I just told them, I said, listen, guys, I appreciate the money you're going to pay me, but the money you're going to pay me does not equate to how much time it would take to do this show. I would make more money doing freelance work. And so, they let me off with that, and okay, we can do this and you can do that. Because I was still doing In the Garage with Dennis on the side. I was still doing a lot of freelance on the side, photography, written, video. And so it turned out to where everybody kind of got their hands in the center. We had a little, a hug and a kumbaya, and everything was good. And then it's, when are we going to get started? And that's what was crazy is... I was expecting, all right, well, it's going to be, a couple months, 4 months, 6 months. Oh, by the way, here's your plane reservation. You're leaving in 13 days.
Holy shit.
So they rushed it into production.
So it was just, the slot was open, and that's the inside stuff that, forgive me if I misquote any of this to anyone that would listen to this, because I did get some feedback from part one, by the way.
Oh, sweet. When we finish, you got to tell us.
No.
We can't, unfortunately, because of the... wonderful people at GoDaddy, we can't monitor our traffic anymore.
Oh, well,
I blame Danica Patrick.
Fired her.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
She
was there. There was no problem, was there? The sniper hit me. God damn it.
But I'm now all of a sudden it's like boom. So the long and short of it is Discovery loved the show. They wanted the show. They wanted to get in production, but it was like, okay, you have an air date of, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We've got to go make some TV. So yeah, there's no waiting. There's no figuring it out. We got to go now.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're sending me, I'm trying to pick cars from Florida when I'm in Portland, Oregon. I'm going back and forth on emails and stories. And we had all these submissions for cars, and finally, it's like, guys, I don't know what to do. I mean, I can say I like this car and that car, but without me physically touching it, I have no idea what I'm getting into, because a picture looks great. I mean, the crack house across the street from my house that's on the market now looks great, and the picture from the lawn, but, the cigarette burns on the wall on the inside don't really tell you what's going on.
Pros, this house can take a bullet.
Yes.
Cons, a lot of blood.
A lot of
blood everywhere.
Don't worry about those vials over there.
Exploding.
Yes. if you smoke, you might explode, yeah.
So, fans of Breaking Bad, beware.
That motorhome's parked in the back. So anyway, now it's boom. It's time to go. And I've got to, and you know, even today, I think I got some feedback from one of you. I can't remember who gave me the feedback today. That, I mean, even today, I was participating in my daughter's jogathon. Yeah. I mean, you guys know, you two more than you, because we haven't been friends as long. But there is two things on this planet that take, you know, precedence before anybody, and that's my wife and my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I've got to go to my wife and daughter and go, oh, by the way,
I'm going to be gone for a while.
I'm leaving. How long? For 6 weeks. What? And you can't come with me. And so it was just like one of those things where, I mean, I just couldn't afford it. I was, you know, she was working, I'm working, you know, daughter's in school, all this craziness. And so we go down, and so, I mean, it's a lot of FaceTime on the phone or whatever, Tango or whatever we were using. So I had my morning call, my afternoon call, my evening call with my family, and we went down there, and, you know, all of a sudden I walk into a shop. Now, a lot of the guys have already been there for a while. Not a while. When I say a while, I mean like a couple weeks. They've hired on.
Oh, they were being held hostage.
Well, Slick had a few.
They were dragged from their homes.
Yeah, Slick had a few in-house employees that he brought to the table. Jim had gone out and kind of put the feelers out to other shows and other builders in the area. So we had a few other guys. Like, we used to call them, we called them the meaty meatheads on the show, Dave and Raleigh, because, you know, the big, you know, because they were just built like brick shit houses. I mean, the guys were just beefy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the meaty meatheads and Vinny, and we brought some California guys out. Izzy, the big guy from California, super cool guy. And there was, you know, Tim and Ray and all these guys, and Skittle, the girl that was there. She was kind of an in-house girl that worked for Slick at the time. And we walk in, and
not her
boom.
Stripper name.
No.
I'm fighting the urge of just like, don't say Taste the Rainbow. Don't say fucking
no,
Taste
say
the Rainbow.
It, don't say it.
Don't dishonor her.
Well, considering
goddamn
about how tough and how good of a body shot, I'd put money on her in a ring. I'd put you two in a...
I'd put money on her in a ring against me.
Well, we get down there, and it's
we'd
just
all put money on her against you in a ring.
Yeah, agreed.
Slap boxing is not a sport, Jim. So we get down there.
It's a way of life, Dennis.
It's a lifestyle.
You win.
Sorry, I had to do that too, bro.
Yeah, we walk into the room, and there's, you know, 15, 20 guys there. And, I mean, I had been on some really cool productions before for either Hot Rod or just Source Interlink in general, other stuff that I'd done, kind of cameos on other TV stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
I loved you on that episode of Full House.
I was great. It was me and Bob Saget. Don't
so much
go
coke.
There. Don't go
so
there.
Much coke and whores. Yeah. Just, oh, God.
I seen him. So anyway, not to get off the rails too bad. So I go down there, and all of a sudden there's like, you know, and we're talking equipment. I mean, guys, we're all in the broadcast entertainment industry of some degree. You want to talk about some equipment envy. I mean, a whole bunch of peanut butter and jealous all up on this guy's crotch, because it was just...
Yeah,
I mean,
he actually said that.
Yes.
You see, where do you keep your jealousy in your dick sandwich?
No, like, I stole that totally from the interview. A whole bunch of peanut butter and jealous up on here. They hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I go down there, and I mean, the equipment. I mean, it was I am a total tech geek, as we all are. If you're really a real true artist in this industry, you love the geek stuff.
The toys.
The toys. Yeah. And it was C300s, if you don't even know it. Do you know what a C300 is?
It's better than a C200. That's for
it's better
sure
than a C100. You'll sound smarter next time you say that.
Thanks, Coach.
The C300 is a Canon camera that is used for a lot of cinematography in the TV level of TV. Now, there's the big Sony stuff and all that. But, I mean, the Sony XD is kind of that quintessential, you know, workhorse. But they had, you know, they had like three of these C300 cameras. The body alone on the camera is $35,000. The body.
Oh my
then
God.
You put
did,
a
did
60.
Did you get to touch it?
I did. I got to every once in a while. They wouldn't let me actually film anything with it. I would just kind of touch it while they were walking by.
This is the camera astronauts use to make pornos with.
Yes,
on Mars.
Because the lens is so good, because the lenses on those are about $60,000. You could probably shoot it from space.
Yeah.
There's a great
he
shot.
He was not allowed to touch those.
No. If you look back into some of the photos that I posted, there's a shot where I'm in the GTO filming, and Jim, which I can get into the crew in a second, but he was actually filming me with a C300. And I remember the first time we did that, and I said, hey, man, how much is in that camera you're holding? Because, of course, it's the camera, the lens, the rig to hold it, the rig to hold the audio, all of this encompassed thing that is literally about as big as a small duffel bag. It's about the size of, like, a soccer bag, you know, not a bit like a kid's soccer bag. You're talking about $100,000 worth of equipment.
That don't wreck the car.
So at that point, I realized...
Don't forget your bag.
Yeah, and more importantly, just don't touch the fucking camera. Because if it breaks...
Don't even look at it.
Yes, like just...
The camera will look at you, but you don't look at it.
Yes, eyes down. Eyes down. So anyway, we get into filming. Anyway, we show up, and I'm just blown away by the camera. I'm blown away by everything. I'm blown away... by the infrastructure. That's the thing that will blow you away. And I was actually funny. Somebody wrote on a Facebook post today about Misfits Garage. This was today, whatever, May 4th. Oh, that's right. It's May the 4th be with you. No, it's Cinco de Mayo. It's National Drink a Beer and Don't Go to Work Day.
Well, I had but the show off. Will come out Sunday, so now you know when we recorded it.
Now you know when. So
the illusion is dead, Dennis. God damn it.
God damn you.
So we're recording this live.
I'll just go through it. I'll beep out the dates.
Yes, it wasn't me. And on May 5th. So we go to, I mean, just the infrastructure. I mean, guys, anyway, the long and short of where I was going with that is somebody had made a mention on somebody, a builder, which is, believe me, so many stories want to leapfrog for it. The infrastructure that it takes to do one of these shows is amazing. Yeah. I mean, it is. There's four or five office people. There's four or five camera guys. There's two audio guys. I mean, remember the? I don't know if you ever saw those Sennheiser mics that I have that I spent like $800 on.
Yeah.
Well, those are the junk. That's the junk. Yeah. You know, just my mic. Exactly. I mean, the mic pack I have on my belt loop at any time is $1,500. Mine. There's 20 guys with mics on.
Jesus.
So it's the amount of equipment, the amount of infrastructure, and just the way that it's all put together. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because somebody had put up on Facebook a builder, which obviously had never been on TV or never been, the book opened up to all this stuff, you know, bagging on Misfits Garage on Discovery Channel about, well, you know, this and that, and that's stupid, and they did this, and that's never real, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, buddy, I dare you. I dare anybody to go through this experience and not realize what really goes into it, because it was with okay, so working on Cars crew, given the day, 20 to 25 people, equal that in production people. I mean, it's from craft services, which now you're feeding 45, 50 people three times a day. Yeah. I mean, the catering alone was thousands of dollars a day. Then you talk about putting us all up in this kind of condo.
Your pockets must be a mess just after all the food
I know.
Stolen,
I tried
just
to steal everything I could. Still reeks of
sending
chicken.
It back to Portland.
Still reeks of chicken wings.
That's Daddy's ranch pocket. You leave that alone.
I mean, that's my little ranch.
I got wings in this pocket. If you want sauce, I've got a variety in this.
I got why? Give me some of your tots. No.
Three square Pittsburger. That's how we know I love
them. There we go. But I mean, just the infrastructure blew me away to do this TV show because now you got, and at the same time, we're all working on the cars. I mean, imagine all of this going on at the same time in different groups. You have what I would call the core. I don't want to call them to lower their job, but call it craft services. And that's everything from the soda pops in the coolers to the waters to the lunches to the dinners to the breakfast to the sunscreen to the tape for the camera guy to make sure this camera doesn't fall to the toilet paper to the this to the that. There's four or five guys doing that. There is now the camera guys, which is there was always three, if not four camera guys doing that. There's two audio guys at all times making sure that's all going. Then you have the three or four producers that are going through storyline and making sure that because they have it all on the walls in this big room, call it the brain, whatever, the think tank room. Mm-hmm. And at all of the time they're doing this, because here's the thing, whether you think it's scripted or not, so much. I mean, I tell people, honestly, there was probably 5% of my show that it was, hey, Dennis. And this is after the fact.
Yeah,
it was more, you know, we need you to say something to tie A and C together, because if we go from A to C, they're going to wonder what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
And so we would go out there, and it was literally, you know, building cars And it was, we would have to go and grab one of the, either the director of photography, the director, one of the executive producers that was on site. Now, and realize by the same time, big kudos to Jim, the head of all of this. He's flying, bouncing back and forth between the United States, running five other successful network programs while he's on site with me almost every day. The guy would work a 15-hour day, go jump down to the airport, jump on a plane, fly to the West Coast, handle some business there, go to another site for one of his other successful
probably
shows.
Coach.
I'm sure. And
it's the good seat. It's the seat where there's the door. You get a little extra leg room. Yeah.
Because you spend all that money on scotch for Dennis.
Yeah. Discovery, there aren't monsters there. Yeah. I mean, they're decent people.
He's flying all over the United States, running one of his many shows, which, by the way, Dead Files. I don't know if you can watch that show, but it's a great show. That's one of his best shows on the air.
I don't know if anyone in this room has cable.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, elitist. Fuck you, elitist. Thank you, James. The two gyms say fuck you.
He's bouncing all over the country running other shows at the same time. And all of this is going on in this crazy orchestration where we have to then run these guys because we would give them kind of the game plan.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 20 guys start tearing a car apart. And you'd have to almost, and it got to the point, we figured this out in about the first 48 hours. We made a giant sign that said, it didn't say the F word. It said, shut the fuck up in case anybody walked in. We didn't want to not be offensive to anyone.
Or in case it got on camera.
And had a giant sign that said, work or shut the fuck up. Because it would be like, and this is the part that really made everybody kind of crazy, is because it would be like, we would go and I would go to the executive producer, Slick and I would walk over, okay, here's the plan. What are you going to do with the car? And we would just sit there and I'd look at him and he'd look at me and we'd be like, I don't know, just turn the cameras on. Let's figure it out. And I was like, okay, we want you to at least stand here and stay on that side of the car so we can film this and make it look right.
Yeah.
And so we would just come up with this crazy plan. And, of course, after we come up with a crazy plan and they film it, they walk over and go, do you have any fucking idea how much that's going to cost? Can you restate the question a little bit? You know, I mean, I went, oh, let's 68 Camaro. Let's put, you know, $8,000 of suspension and a $5,000 motor and a $6,000 tranny and we'll get a cage flown in and they're like, no. No!
Now, I know hover technology is still in its embryonic stage right
Everything
now.
Everything you just said... No.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't.
We'll
that
put
bad.
New tires on. That's it.
Yeah. Well, we would come up.
Used tires. Yeah.
Well, we would come up with this plan. I mean, there's a whole other part of it. At the same time, you're talking about all those different fractions. There was three other guys that sat up in this little loft, and all they did all day is we would say, okay, the plan was we need this set of tires and wheels for that car, and this set of tires and wheels for that car, and this motor, and this headers, and that fender, and whatever. And all these guys did all day long was just order shit from manufacturers.
I thought you were going to say their whole job was just to say no.
Well, they did say no a lot because I would walk in and, it, you know, they would have, we would come up with a basic plan, but I mean, it was really all just off the cuff.
Yeah.
And we would have to do the same thing when we're filming the show. They would say, all right, what are you guys doing? And more importantly, and I love Keith was the director, a great guy, but I probably drove that guy to drink more scotch than any human being because we would go and we would start doing something on the car. And then I would walk over and I'd be like, dude, did you check out? You know, we got the whole front end of the car, the motor's out. And he'd look at me and go, are you fucking kidding me? And all of a sudden, exactly. All of a sudden, he'd be like, he's like, was anyone filming it, Dennis?
Well, I mean, filming
there's
is
a lot of
strong word.
Filming,
yeah.
Filming in the sense
there,
that
there were
like,
people watching.
Yeah,
I mean, that, the Lord watches everything that we do.
Yeah, but that dude had his iPhone out. Oh yeah, so we learned
Snapchat.
Snapchat. We made a whole TV
show. I know we've
show.
Got these $100,000 cameras, but he got it on his $25 iPhone.
Yeah, that's great, Dennis. Your new show is Snapchat to Sell. Okay?
That's actually not a bad idea.
And you're welcome.
Trademark.
I'll be in the trailer park. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, that's about the budget you'll get for that show. But no, I mean, it was like, and I mean, it wasn't. it wasn't 3 days into production, you know, for, and all of a sudden it was like, guys, here's the deal. I mean, they sat us down like, don't do anything unless we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Do it in the way you need to do it. Do it like you're crazy maniacs, but don't just start doing something at 9:30 when the camera crew picks up the cameras at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But there's work that needs done.
Yeah. So anyway, and that's and that leads into the whole on a whole other subject. But I mean, just to give kudos, I have never worked with a better set of guys in my life.
Well, thanks.
Ow.
That makes
yeah.
that makes me feel so. James, high five. High five there. There we go.
Self-loathing.
Sorry, B team's over here.
Sorry. Between the self-loathing fives, I have never worked with a better set of guys in broadcast. As far as television.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bryce.
Such a dick.
You said mean things to us.
Okay. If you're
on and up, off the air.
True.
The best radio show I have ever done in my life, still to this date, even though I had the power of Hot Rod behind me, would still be Miles Around. It was still the funnest show with the best listener parties, with the best time on air, because it was us having fun. And I thought we covered
it. Because we did it right.
Because we
right.
had fun.
We
now, right. getting back to TV, these guys...
But once I was done with you, fucktards.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just. I'm not doing it any different than when we talked about it in part yeah. one of our segment. You guys are the best when it comes to what we did, and these guys just were that impressive on that level. Just a different slice of the media pie.
In all honesty, like you know, the old saying is like you know the wheels of you know
the wheels
success.
On the bus go round and round.
I'm trying to be on your side now,
oh,
Dennis.
Okay, sorry.
Like, do you, how many more friends do you want to shoot in the foot, Mr.
All of them!
No, I
wipe
was
them
say,
out.
When it comes to trying to get anything done like on your own or to get some kind of a project going, the wheels of success move so slowly. But in a situation like this, you don't know how fast those wheels can fucking move.
Yeah.
Like, you like just hearing the story, you were like sucked into this thing and jettisoned off into this whole other world.
Well, that I'm glad you made that analogy with the wheels on the bus because you also don't know.
No,
wait. You also don't know how fast the wheels on the bus can fall off that bus. And we're going to have to come back to that. We're going to have the four of us are going to have to come back again because we're now out of time.
God damn it.
Because we need to find out how this fell apart because this was hands down one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Thank you.
And it was cut off at the knees before its time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And this is a great time to stop and then come back and do a part three. And we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, we did.
Because everything that we've talked about today kind of led up with the fun and you know and what we're doing. But it led up to now I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
There is a whole bunch going on. It is the it was everything from complete headache to complete passion and everything in between. And it is a good point to stop because there is a whole nother hour. There is 2 or 3 hours to go.
This is going to be an on-running thing for the year, I think. And I'm psyched. Because we still haven't done our road travel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we haven't done the thing that we put this all together for, which was Car Wars.
Oh, exactly.
I forgot all about that.
Of course you did.
No, I gotta
Dennis,
say,
you're a hard man to love. You're a hard man to love.
That's what my wife says. Why do you always play Rihanna when I'm being a jerk? It's great to come and talk with you guys again. I will definitely share the story. Like I said, it was, and I appreciate that. There was a lot of love for the show. We'll stop it now because then we'll really get into the nitty gritty of what it was like.
We have to, next time we all get together, we have to, I want to know about the filming, how you chose the cars, all that stuff, all the way leading up to the listener or the first viewing party, which Bryce and I attended.
Yeah.
Jim didn't.
Where was my invitation? Where was my invitation?
It was on Facebook, like the rest.
That's
of
about
them.
All I did. I just
well, that was clearly not enough.
I knocked on the box I thought was yours. The guy woke up. Jim, refrigerator, two boxes down.
Frigidaire. He's got money.
Thanks, Shantytown Sammy. I appreciate the direction.
But we also have to. I really want to hear if we can, how it fell apart. Because it kind of fell apart from the inside, you were telling us last time.
Well, there was a lot of conflict in the beginning and in the end, because there was nothing really truly evil about it. There wasn't a Chris Paddock in there. But, you know,
are you sure?
Another punching bag on Chris Paddock.
Are you sure?
Let's just say that it became one of those things that at the end, and we'll get through this whole story in part three, at the end, it was just time to come home.
Okay.
And that's the end for me. So do your outro so I can go home so I can continue to have a life and a wife.
Well, there's a Fred Meyer Jewelers right across the way.
My wife actually brought that up because we listened to the podcast. And it was funny because she goes, yeah. And I'm like, honey, that ship sailed a long time ago.
I remember that.
A long time ago. If it's all cubic zirconia or those flashy, crappy diamonds you buy at the airport now. I don't know why. None of that real stuff.
That's why you sleep on the couch.
I'll give you $20 if you want to play the little claw machine where you can get an iPhone or something. Yeah,
you
can
trade that iPhone in and maybe get her... I'm done.
Get her one of those bags with $100,000 worth of, like, you know, camera equipment.
Yeah.
There you go.
I need that right
now.
Yeah. Because I know where a hot shop is.
Okay, so we're going to close this down. God, I can't wait for the next episode with you guys. Next week, we're going to try and reunite with an old co-star. You're not going to do your impression?
Oh, sorry. Maggie Walnuts is coming to town? That is weird. That is fucking weird. Samantha's coming back.
So fingers crossed we're relying on technology here, and we're not the brightest of bulbs here.
Hey, listen, by 6 or 7 of these episodes, if somebody doesn't go and just kidnap Rick Emerson and we just tie him to this couch, I don't know, man. Just he'll be sitting here. Okay, pull the tape off his mouth. Get me the fuck out of here! No. We're talking radio.
That's a guy I would love to get in on this podcast, but I know he would never do it. Because if I got hold of him, it'd be like, who?
I sincerely doubt that. I sincerely doubt that.
I would love to talk to Rick. Last time I saw his wife, we were actually roller skating it at Oaks Park.
Were you
Park.
Holding hands? Was it the couple?
No,
skate?
No. I was.
We
I
united, and it feels so
and,
good.
And I was like, tell Rick to say hi, and I got, oh, yeah, give him a call. Yeah, that didn't get returned.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Okay. He just dropped the mic.
I turned the mic off. I'm sorry. I thought we were finishing this disaster.
Wow. All right.
Well, next week.
Yeah, next
I've
week.
Always wanted to drop
what are you
going to
do next week?
Next week we're going to have our old co-star Samantha on via Skype.
It's nice.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if it works.
Have fun. Well, week, not this week, but next week, I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. I'm in Detroit.
We'll talk off the air.
Yeah.
We don't need to give your travel details in case you know, some of the people you called out on this episode are looking for you.
They can't find me.
Dennis is available most days from 7 a.m. until about 9 p.m. His lists of phobias include spiders, talking in public, and the dark.
The softest parts of his body are his neck.
And his taint.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.